couple of updates. Linda Chadwick has really not changed much. Maybe a little bit of progress, but that's going to be a slow process with her. Keep praying for her. And Josh, Bobby had his surgery this week and doing well. Probably get to come home maybe early in the week. Elaine is not doing well. Keep praying for her. If they could go ahead and get her to Macon and get those kidney stones out. She still has them. I mean, Atlanta, not Macon. Atlanta, and get those kidney stones out. She is she back in the hospital in Macon right now? Yeah, she's back in the hospital in Macon. She came home for a few days, and so they had to take her back. So just be praying for them. She's in pretty bad shape still. All right? I think that's everything. Let's pray. How about that? Lord, we're grateful for this day, for this this time of year we celebrate for what you've done in our country. We ask for guidance, even as we vote, that we would vote for people who would do the right things. Father, thank you for your mercy on us to tolerate us this long without severe judgment. We ask that... that we would consider what is going on in our lives, that we would live according to what would bring honor to you. We thank you for our food this morning, for you this place to meet. Just ask your blessings upon all that's going on for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Since we are looking at the 23rd Psalm for our VBS, I'm going to just speak on that a little bit today. And it is quite a psalm. You know, everybody seems to know this one. And they do it a lot at funerals and things like that. But there's a lot more to it than that. You know, I read where a politician, and there are no politicians in here, right? Is that right? Who is? Somebody in here is? Okay, well, anyway, I'm going to say what I'm going to say. You know, I looked that word up, and they don't give you a lot on that, you know. Politicians have a bad name, probably because it's true. But I read where one guy, a politician, was going to this small church to speak on a Sunday morning, and he didn't even do his homework. He didn't even know what kind of church it was. He didn't know it was Methodist, Baptist, Catholic. He didn't know what it was. So he realized, about stepping up on the podium up here, he said, I should know. So this is what he did. He said, I just want to tell all you that my great-grandfather on my father's side was Presbyterian. Not a word. You know, he's saying, okay, if they're Presbyterian, they'll, yay. Nothing. Silence. And he said, and you know, my grandmother on my father's side was Episcopalian. Nothing. Silence. So he said, and you know, my grandfather on my mother's side was a Catholic. Still nothing. And he said, my grandmother on my mother's side was a Methodist. Still nothing. So he finally, he said, but I got to tell you, I had an aunt who was Baptist, and all they just clapped. He said, and I just want you to know I've always considered her path as the right one. Does that sound like a politician? Oh, exactly what it is. They're chameleons, by and large. If they're not one to start with, they don't have to stay in there very long, just a month. And then that's exactly what happens, unfortunately. You know, a lot of times they have a bad reputation because it turns out to be true, right? Unfortunately. It says in 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David pens this psalm from the perspective of a sheep. You could call it the sheep psalm, because he was a shepherd for so many years before he was ever the king. It was almost like he's speaking like a sheep, because he knows how the sheep respond to the shepherd. Because how many years did he do that? So basically, that's what you look at, and you'd almost say, this is a sheep psalm. And it's how the sheep would respond. And if you're one of Christ's sheep, this is how we should respond. It tells us, gives us an instruction. This is exactly how we should live our life. And it's exactly a parallel, analogous to it. He reaches to the most comprehensive and intimate metaphor. And this is what he says, my shepherd. And there's a lot in that. You know, a lot of people argue that in the Old Testament, because of Mount Sinai, and whenever God was speaking in thunders and lightning on Mount Sinai, the people said, oh, no, God, we don't want that. You talk to Moses, let him talk to us. We don't want to do that. So that's what happened. And then Jesus came along, you remember, and he says, and he taught, and he called God Abba Father, made it real personal. They just kind of like, what? David kind of refutes some of that, because he says, he's my shepherd. He's not a corporate shepherd. He's my shepherd. And you know, that's like, how many times did Jesus say that? He says, my sheep do what? Hear my voice and follow me. If you're one of his children, if you committed yourself to Christ, then you're a sheep. And these things apply to us. As this is how we should be responding to God, our shepherd. Answer this one for me. Have you ever seen on television, and that still happens in the Middle East now, there's still nomads with sheep and a shepherd that lead them. If you've ever been over there, you can still see it in the right place. When have you ever seen the sheep out in front of the shepherd? Doesn't happen. You know, they're always following the shepherd. Boy, that says a lot to us, right? We always want to get out there in front and say, God, you can come along if you want to. This is where I'm going. There are so many things in here that are exactly just like us. He was a long time at it and knew exactly what it was about. He knew the... You know, a lot of people say, well, all the shepherd does, he sat under the shade and wrote songs. No, he didn't. No, there was a whole lot more to that. His life was in danger. Their life was in danger. He's experienced all that, and he's riding as if he is a sheep, and he's riding the way a sheep will respond to the shepherd, in the way we should. That's exactly it. He's been there for so long, then he kind of thinks like that. So he speaks like that. And this is what we're going to see, all right? So, now let's hurry, all right? He begins with a view of the shepherd and the sheep that you and I wouldn't have because we've never shepherded sheep. I mean, y'all ever shepherded sheep? No? You know, we don't do anything like they used to, and like I say, some of them still do over there. The shepherd's sheep, they have contentment. He said that's exactly what the shepherd does. He makes you satisfied. Boy, that's a novel idea. We're not satisfied. If we were satisfied, they would quit making new cars, wouldn't they? New versions, they might have to make some more because some of you don't take care of the ones you got, so you got to get another one sometime. A cousin of mine, he's dead now. He 80,000 miles on his car, and he never changed oil in it. That's not what you do, all right? He traded it in. Cadillac on top of that, okay? They would have to make cars to replace those, but that's not good enough. How many times do you go back and try to buy the very same one, the same year model? Oh, no. I want the new version. The new version is trash. It's made out of plastic. And a good chance, you can't work on it because it's got so many, what you call those little boards in it? Circuit boards in it. You know? When we really follow Jesus, we can be satisfied. Paul said that, right? Whether I have a lot or whether I'm starving, I'll learn how to be content. We don't know what that is. Our Society doesn't breed that. And if you are, people will look at you like, what's wrong with you? Don't you need a... Hey, how about this one? New phone. Do you have to get a new phone every year? Oh, yeah, you have to. Really? Why? Because you're not satisfied with it. Because the new one's got what? More stuff. More ways for the Chinese to get into your phone. Hey? Come on now. That's where we're living, right? He's my shepherd. I don't like anything. We need to remember, he knows a lot about the Old Testament. He has an Old Testament Bible. He doesn't have a New Testament. He knows about Moses. He knows about whenever God confronted him, he said, I am that I am. There's some revelation that he knows when he's writing this. And he calls God, he's my shepherd. He's not just out there. He knows the covenant of the Lord. He knows a lot of things that's going on there. He knows this term, Lord, Yahweh, is a name, that the covenant name by which God revealed himself. He knows what that means. So when he says, this is my shepherd, this is my God. He's my shepherd. It's not a corporate thing out there in the cosmos. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, and it's crazy how many so-called Protestants in America now do not believe in a transcendent God. They say, oh, yeah, God started it all, but he doesn't have anything to do with having a personal relationship with you. That's what it all is. But they don't believe that. No, they don't believe that. They just say, oh, well, he started, now I'm on my own, so it really doesn't matter what I do. No, he said he's my shepherd. Very individualistic, very personal. And that's what it is. He knew all those things. All right, we're going to hurry because you already are late on this whole thing, right? Despite all those who say that it was a corporate thing, he said, no, that's not the word. What did Jesus say that in 10? My sheep hear my voice. And they know me. Boy, do you know how important that is? I'll get ahead of myself. You know, I read stories where people would go over there where people still do this. They would take garments from the shepherd and put them on and call the sheep, and the sheep would not respond. Would call, use the same words that the real shepherd would use. When the real shepherd would do it, guess what? They responded. You know, I want to tell you something here. My wife still fusses at me for doing this. And I don't understand it. When we were in Mexico, I learned that means all the kids come to you. Every mama said it, but only her kids came to her. And that's all they said. They just said, and you look at it, and all of them would go to that mom, and just another one would go, and then that group would go to their mom. How do they know that? That's all they said, two little phrases. Can you explain that? They know their mama's voice. That's what Jesus said. Do we know his voice? Do we follow him? You got to be careful there, because there's so much out there now that the voice of God is so adulterated. Wow. With AI on board, boy, you better be careful. Because I think that is one of the greatest ways now that the devil will deceive people into believing they're right with God when they're not. Be careful. You know, when this thing comes down to the end, don't be surprised. You know, don't be surprised. That's the main thing. Don't be surprised. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I'm satisfied. Whatever I have, I'm satisfied. Boy, that's a brand new concept, isn't it? You know, how satisfied are we? That means the sheep will enjoy all the shade they need, all the pasture alone they need. I don't like anything. Whatever you have. You know, I cannot help but remember a little girl that we were working over there one day in Mexico and building this building. We did a lot of that. And our master bricklayer, he rode the bicycle to help us. We paid him real well, but he rode his bicycle about 3 miles to us. And his little daughter, about 4 years old, was not in school yet. She rode on a little board right in front of him. Stayed all day. Played out there in the dirt with rocks. Never complained. None. Satisfied. How about our group here today? Let's go another. It's under 50. People aren't satisfied. Jesus is supposed to have everything you need. And he says he's going to give us whatever we need. He said, boy, true contentment What that's what Paul told Timothy, right? Godliness with contentment is great gain. What does it take for you to be satisfied? The next big thing? Hula hoops. You remember that? Remember all those things? Hula hoops. What? I won't even try to go down that road. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Sheep lie down when they're full, when they're satisfied. Then they ruminate their food. They will not lie down if they're hungry. You can't have peace. A sheep cannot have peace if he's not full. And he lies down, and that's what he said. You know, when do you quit trying to go after something? Are you ever satisfied? Are we ever satisfied? Or we always got to chase another dollar? You're living pretty good now, but you got to have more. You know, like that guy said, you know, I only want all the land that joins mine. How much is that? That's all of it. Right? Wow. They don't lie down when they're scared, when they're nervous. They don't lie down when there's danger around. He has to do all those things to remind us, I got this thing now. You don't need to be afraid. We'll go a little bit further if we hurry to the valley. They're fat, well-favored, contented with green grass. They're not afraid. They're not spooked. You know, they're not scared. They're not scared because they can lie down there and not be afraid. You know, that's what God wants us to see. No matter what happens, if we're His, He's going to take care of us. You may die early. That's just one of those things. You know, you are going to die, right? Some of you think you're not. Yes, you are. You know, that's one thing. Did you know the Puritans used to write about how people die? It's taboo now. Nobody wants to talk about it. Oh, well, they passed. No, they died. They don't talk about that. They're afraid. You know, go back and pick up some of the old books the Puritans read, and they taught about dying and how to die. Because it's coming. You need to do everything you can to get ready, but you need to talk about it, especially if you've got children. Too many of them can't handle it when it happens because nobody's ever talked about it with them. Oh, this is the way this is. They're not spooked. The Scripture teaches godliness with contentment is great gain. Absolutely. Boy, we live in a discontented society, don't we? We're never satisfied. I mean, it just, that's a fact. And we learn that. You know, we learn that. We allow the society to teach us, you know, there's always something better. You know, there's always something better out there. And that's exactly what it is. We seek fulfillment of self-identity. Travel, pleasure. Well, I want to go to New York. Why? Why would you want to go to New York? You know, David himself said, I want to go to Europe. I say, why? Why would you want to go over there? You know, they're used to it might have been okay. I don't know anywhere I want to go right now outside of where we live. You know, why is that? More money, bigger houses? The next thing, never satisfied, right? Got to have more so we can buy more. They're content. As a person who's content in the shepherd and all the shepherd provides, I'm satisfied because I know he's going to take care of me. And that's exactly what he's saying. I'm satisfied. You know, boy, we need to hurry. Daniel put all this up there. I'd like for you to read some of it. What did he say? My peace I leave with you, not as the world gives you. If you're seeking all your satisfaction in what the world makes, you're never going to have it. You know, Charles Lowry, one of my professors, used to say, he was a psychology professor, he said his mom would come to him and say, Charlie, you're never going to get enough of what the world offers you to satisfy you. Do you understand that? You're never going to get enough of what the world offers to satisfy you. Only Jesus can. And that's exactly what he says. That's exactly what Ephesians says, right? Paul talks about what it takes, how we're satisfied. You know, let's go to the next one hurriedly, all right? They experience contentment and assurance. Well, I just don't know. You don't have to know everything. God knows, as long as you trust Him, right? You know, you don't have one clue what's going to happen tomorrow, do you? No, you don't. Oh, I've got it planned out. Get ready. That's one thing we learned in Mexico. And we had to tell our people that came in there to work every week, you got to understand one thing. This thing's flexible. We're planning this thing, and we say this is what we're going to do, but it might not be what we get to do. You know, because no hard feelings, but everything wasn't done on time. Or it's not over here either, though, is it? Or you might get it on time, but it's the wrong thing. So you got to go reorder, and then you might get it back, right? Assurance and contentment. Wow. How about that? He restores my soul. That means your life. That's actually how that's translated. Your life. He guides me in paths of righteousness. Why does he do this? Because you're so special? No, for his name's sake. That's exactly what Ezekiel said. That's exactly what Moses said when God was about to destroy all of them after he came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments, and they're all having a sexual orgy out there. And what did Aaron say? I just threw the gold in the fire and the calf came out. What does that sound like? And he said, Moses said, God said, I'm going to kill them all. And Moses said, oh, no, no, for your name's sake. The rest of the world would know who you are. You can't do that. So he said, I won't. I'm not going to do that. I know sometimes I say things, and a lot of people say, well, God changed his mind. No, he never changed his mind. He's like us. Sometimes I say things, man, I'm going to do this, and then I say, no, I'm not going to do that. It's what Trump does all the time. And people get upset about it. You know, he says a lot of things he's never going to do. Isn't that right? But he says one thing, and they'll say, oh, my goodness, he's not going to do that. Anyway, the word behind that means my life is what that means. He restores my life. You know, they say sheep, when they cast, that means they fall on their side, they can't get back up. A couple reasons. They could be too much wool on them, top heavy, and they haven't sheared them when they should have. The sheep could lie down, supposedly in a place, and not understand that the ground right there wasn't that level. So when he lays down, he loses his balance and goes over on his backside, and he can't get up. It's impossible. He can't do it. So what happens is, if the shepherd is not constantly watching him, he'll die quickly, especially in the Palestinian heat. Why? The blood leaves his legs. The gases in his stomach because of rumination start up, and it doesn't take very long, and he's dead. And sometimes when the shepherd goes and gets him, he has to pick him up and actually carry him for a while so the blood would get back in his legs because the circulation's gone. He restores his life. God does that all the time. He'll look at us and say, what are you doing on your side? You somewhere you shouldn't be, aren't you? Yeah. You hanging around with some people that caused you to get on your side, and now, and he comes after us and restores us. That's what that means. If it wasn't for the shepherd, the sheep wouldn't make it. If it wasn't for Jesus, you and I don't have a chance. You understand that, right? Baptism doesn't do it. Church membership doesn't do it. It is only the blood of Jesus that does it. He lies on his back, feet in the air. All he does is bleats helplessly. And guess what happens? If the shepherd doesn't come quick, something's going to get him. Either a bird or a dog or a lion or something, because he has no defenses whatsoever. If God didn't come after you, you would be in trouble. If God didn't come after us, we would be in trouble. And that's exactly what he says. He restores my soul. For a sheep in such a position, he's dead. He can't get up. He can't do any better. Some of you with horses, you know how bad that is. Horse lays down on his side, and if he's not careful, if he's trying to get up, he can mess around and cause his intestines to get all crossed up, and he'll die. I know a couple of people who had him. That's what happens. You know, because he's moving around, and he's so big, trying to get back on his feet, and that's what happens. The sheep can't do it. He's done. He's got to have somebody to help him. On occasion, we are just like that, aren't we? We're going nowhere spiritually. We're in the wrong place. We're following the wrong people. We're looking at the wrong stuff. We're listening to the wrong people. And we are cast. And if God didn't come after us, and sometimes, you know, he comes after us and says, hey, Terry, and we don't listen. And sometimes you die. Sometimes you're done. You know, you're pretty much done. You could die physically. I've known some of that. We're easy prey to every spiritual vulture. Ain't that right? Joel Osteen's, what's that? Furtek, ain't that his name? T.D. Jakes. They're all over the place. And if you're not careful, that's exactly what comes and attacks you, and you don't even pay attention to what's going along. Unless the shepherd finds you, you'll be in a mess. Be careful. He'd been through all that stuff, and he said, he restores my soul. Jesus unpacks that, doesn't he? Does not the shepherd rejoice over one sinner? The shepherd had to constantly be watching to make sure one of them did get cast around the corner. He was feeding a little bit behind, and the rest of the group was going around. And now, if he's not paying attention to counting them, you know, like kids when they go in the swimming pool, you better count their heads. Hey, isn't that right? Why? Because one of them get missing, and you don't know it. And that's exactly what it is. The same thing with us. Jesus said, no, I'm going to go after you. That one that I go back for is the same, is just as much. We need that restoration, absolutely. And we draw confidence that he has begun, remember that in Romans? He who started a good work in us will stay with us till the end. If you follow, if you don't try to get out there in front. He restores my soul and guides me in paths of righteousness. At this level of the sheep simply says, he guides me in the paths, not the dangerous paths. You know, when it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the valleys in the Bible were not pleasant green places or lush. It was the danger places. A shepherd, you know, even Israel, they didn't want to fight in the valleys because they didn't have the chariots like the Assyrians and them. So they had to stay up high on the mountains where the chariots couldn't roam as much. Whenever the bad animals, the lions, the bears, all those things were down in the valleys. So if the shepherd is going through one of the valleys to get up to the hill to feed the sheep, he has to be careful and look around every corner because that's where the bad guys are. That's what that means. He leads me through these valleys that are dark, and he protects me. He watches out for me in more than one way. Not only against wolves, not only against bears, but against, he goes into a new little pasture that he's going to feed his sheep on. You know, they were moving. There were no barbed wire fences then. They were moving all around wherever the grass was. So he goes to this new place that he hasn't been before, and he has to look. There were all kind of toxic weeds out there. So sometimes he had to go in front of the sheep, pull the weeds out, because some of those weeds actually would kill a baby sheep, and it would damage the adults. So he's not only defending them against animals, he's defending them out just from nature things that are natural that we would think that'll kill them. A friend of mine back home, just in the past couple months, with all these storms, he realized one of his labs that he kept in a pen at night didn't act right. So he said, man, what's going on with him? After a couple of days, he took him to the vet, and he said, what happened? He said, well, I don't know. He said, what different? He said, the only thing different is, a couple of days ago, there was a big pecan limb in the pen, and I finally got it out. And he said, he was chewing on it. He said, that's it. Did you know that? Did you know pecan tree, green pecan leaves would poison your dog? He said, oh, that's what it is. He gave me some medicine, and he survived. That's what it was. There's all kind of toxic things out there. The shepherd has to be looking from all kind of angles. The sheep have no idea. That's why God says, you know, you need to hang around with some people who has a better vision than you have. You know, you need to hang around some people who knows, okay, the devil's been working in this area a long time, and you don't know. You need to walk around with somebody who knows these things and teach you some of these things, or you're going to be dead. That's the same. This is a parallel for us, same thing. He said he guides me in the right path. He doesn't take me down a dangerous road. When God says don't do that, he says, I'm trying to protect you. Listen to me. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to look out for you. Whatever it is, whether it's poisonous plants or wild animals, for his name's sake. Not for Baptists, not for Catholics, not for you, not for me, for his name's sake. Because that's what he said he was going to do. And he's going to uphold his name. That's exactly what Ezekiel says in there. He talks about his name. The sheep experience security. Do you know? There's a lot of confusion about eternal security. You know what that means? A lot of people think, oh, I walked down the aisle when I was a kid, and I prayed this prayer, I was baptized, so now I'm okay. That's not true. That's not true. How are you living? Are you following Jesus? If you're not following Jesus, you have really no reason to think whenever you die, you're going to heaven. You understand that, right? Because Jesus said, "What? If you love me, you will do what? Keep my commandments." That means live for me. That's what that means. They experience security. He's going to look out for us. You know, there's a lot worse thing that's going to go on in this world except other than dying, if you know Jesus. You know, too many times when I've done funerals for lost people, and I know they're lost, their families say, "Well, they're better off." And I'm thinking, no, they're not. Because I know them. There's nothing in their life would ever say that they ever committed their life to Jesus. So when they die without Jesus, they are not better off. They're doomed forever. You know how that works, right? And there's no getting out of it. Eternal security. Once saved, always saved. Yeah and no. How are you living? Does your life show you're following Jesus? Or are you out there on your own pasture doing your own thing? Hey, that's where it is. Jesus said, your life is going to be changed if you're following me. Because I'm not going to lead you over there to do those things you're doing. I'm not going to lead you over there to fool around with those people you're fooling around with. I'm not leading you there. You're on your own. And you're on your own in a dangerous way, y'all. Right? Y'all hear me say this all the time. Chickens, get out my fence. You on your own. I'll watch out for you as long as you stay where I put you. You go be an ignorant, crazy thing and fly over the fence, and you're on your own. And something's going to get you. And some of them I get tired of. I say, well, just stay out there and let the fox get you. I'm tired of messing with you. And they wouldn't kill that one for nothing in the world. Ain't that right? Yeah. Get a good dog and something happened to him. Get one that ain't worth killing and he won't get killed. Ain't that right? That's the way it goes. I mean, unfortunately. Walking through the valley, it was dangerous. This goes on absolutely. Some absolutely take this to the extreme when it says, I walk through the valley of death. Absolutely, that's part of it. That's a valley. But he said, even there, I know you're going to take care of me. You know, that is the main thing. The main thing is you understand what God expects and what he requires, and that you make that decision to take care of it before you die. Because there is no second chances. Well, so-and-so, I don't care what so-and-so says. You can't validate that from the Scripture. And we want to follow what the Scripture says, right? Security. You know, when we really understand that God is in control of our life, and that if we do die tomorrow, because of him, we don't have to worry. There's a lot of freedom in that. You're not worried about everything. Well, I wonder what's going to happen. So what? You know, so what? Because you are going to die. Unless Jesus comes back first, you say, well, why do you want to talk about this? Because it's coming. And you need to be ready. And your family needs to be ready. And you need to talk about it. See what the Scripture says. Rest on that promise. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to be afraid. Because I know you're going with me. You're going ahead of me. Matter of fact, right? Of course, where's Jesus already been? He's already been there. He walked through it. Came out on the side and said, I can take you through it. Nobody else can take you through it, but I can take you through it, and I will. And that's exactly what it was. He took care of them. He took them to he made sure he got them where they could be satisfied, where they could eat something, and they were constantly moving. Because, you know, sheep can eat the grass so close to the ground that it'll die. So you can't let him stay there very long. You let him graze, and then you move him on and let it grow back up, because they eat it so close it would actually kill it. He said, I'm going to have to keep moving you. I'm going to take care of you. And as we're moving, I'm going to watch out for you. You don't have to worry. Eat. Get wool. Be satisfied. That's the whole thing. That's what this life is about. Jesus said, I want you to be satisfied in this place. And only he can do it. You know, be praying for our kids. You know, there'll be kids coming to us this week that are not our kids. And some of them, they don't know Jesus. And we don't manipulate children. We just try to share the gospel with them. So at some point in time, they will at least know how to be saved. So just be praying for that. And that some of their moms and dads could come to Christ through that. That's the whole reason we're doing this thing. You know, we'll spend a lot of money for this purpose. And God will honor that for his name's sake. And that's what we want to do. All right? Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you are our shepherd. That you ask us to follow you, to put our faith in you. Father, we thank you that you do this for us. Father, help us respond by being faithful to walk behind you. And if we do, you'll take care of us, whether we die early or we die late. Father, we thank you that we can trust you with every aspect of our life. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.